Good afternoon to everyone. It's a small group, but I think a very interesting dialogue that we are going to have here. This study was carried out by App Associates in the Dominican Republic last year. It was financed by USAID, and we have some technical support by two colleagues in the Institute of Nutrition of Central America and Panama INCAP, Maria Teresa Menchú and Humberto Méndez. The disclosure is myself and my co-authors. We don't have any commercial relationships to disclose. The content of my talk is going to cover these issues, the historical use of household income expenditure surveys as a tool to design food fortification programs. And I will explain a little about that using the example of Uganda. Then I'm going to switch to the Dominican Republic, using these previous experiences in trying to identify foods that are widely consumed that we can use fortification vehicles. Because part of the talk is important for us to identify if these economical surveys could be used in other issues beyond food fortification. And I'm going to present the example of salt sodium intake. Finally, I'm going to end showing to you that we can do something regarding the diet quality using the nutrient density per energy supply. That is one of the issues that is really limiting us in our design of diets for populations. And finally, I will present the advantages, assumptions, and limitations of these household consumption expenditure surveys for making dietary and nutritional inferences. For many years, we have used these economical tools. These are not in the public health. These type of surveys are done by the World Bank and similar institutions, and those are for looking what the people at the households are purchasing, what they are using their resources. This is not only the income, it's also the acquisition of products. And they ask for several foods, and that is why 3, 4, 5 years ago, or even more, FAO and other institutions started using this information, trying to have some type of conclusions regarding the patterns of household consumption regarding foods. This graph shows to us what is the percent of households that are either purchasing or acquiring oil or sugar in Kampala and in Uganda. There are several places of Uganda here. Kampala, the capital of Uganda, plus the southwest region and the northern region. And the three columns are different things. The red one is 24-hour recall that we did 3 years ago in the country in a few communities. The blue one is imitating these surveys of income in the same communities, and for this reason is highly correlated in all the cases. And the yellow one is the official household consumption expenditure service of Uganda. That means with thousands of households that they were sampled. And you can see the pattern of the percentage of homes that are purchasing either oil in Kampala in the southwest region or the northern region, and the same in sugar, is very similar. That means that despite that they are not exactly, we can use these economical surveys to really try to identify which foods are commonly eaten in these communities. But having the percentage of users is not sufficient. We need also to have some idea regarding the intake. And we did the work, and this here in the bottom part is the percentiles of the distribution of the intake of, in this case, I'm using only sugar as an example for women of reproductive age. And here how much grams per day we can estimate they are acquiring per day. And you can see the red one, the red line, is the 24-hour recall, and the blue one is the estimations using the amount of the food that is purchased by the household, but divided by the number of women equivalents based on the energy in the household. And you can see that the coincidence is very good. It's not exactly the same, but we can use and interpret the results. This is in Kampala, and this is in the southwest region. And well, as we can look at that, the people in Kampala, not, they are purchasing sugar more frequently, but in addition, they are also consuming more than in the Southwest region. And if we put something inside sugar, the population that is going to benefit more are the urban beyond the rural population. We do the same study for salt, for wheat flour, wheat maize flour, and for others. This has been the traditional use of these tools. But now let me go to the Dominican Republic. We did the same last year. In the analysis of 4 months, is all the information I'm going to present to you now. We analyzed 7,712 households for 912 different food products. From those, we finally selected only 233, which were acquired by more than 1.5% of the homes. But with this information is what I'm going to present now. These are the percentage of households that are acquiring either wheat flour, maize flour, rice, the combination of wheat flour and rice, and the combination of wheat flour, rice, and maize. And in the urban is in blue, and the rural populations in red. And as you can see here, the Dominican Republic is a population, is a country that this type of foods is commonly eaten in all in urban and in rural areas. Maize flour is not a staple, but wheat flour is. Then if we selected something to add nutrients, we can put into the wheat flour. Rice is the main staple in the Dominican Republic. Despite of that, this is a percentage of the population that is switching or is changing the use of rice for other cereals. And that was an interesting finding that we have. But this information tells us which foods we can use. But the important part here is in which amounts are they acquired, in this case for adult male equivalent. Here again, the percentiles of the distribution in the population, and here the grams per day based on adult male equivalent. This is maize flour, which is eaten by a very few proportion of the population. These purple squares is the distribution of wheat flour equivalents. That means not only wheat flour, but bread and other products that are made with wheat flour, that we estimate how much equivalents of wheat flour are in the different foods that contain them. These brown squares is the intake of rice. And despite that this proportion hits like 20% of the population probably is not consuming rice, the intake of those consuming is very large, which means if we add nutrients to the rice, we are going to have a large impact. But the key factor here is that we can combine in the green squares both wheat flour and rice, and then we have a large coverage and a large amount of what I call fortifiable energy that we can put the nutrients in. That will be the best things to do in the public health arena in the Dominican Republic. That means use the combination of wheat flour and maize flour and rice. What other thing is telling us this graph is that food fortification is not equitative. Some people are going to have a very large impact and others a small impact. But that's the type of information we can have with this type of data. But now, new things that we did in the Dominican Republic. When we do 24-hour recall or any other food frequency dietary analysis, we can do the same type of work. But it's trying to see, in this case, I use sodium. The proportion of sodium in the very poor strata of the population, the poor, the median, the rich, and the richer. That means I can have a landscape analysis of the country. The blue lines is the proportion. This is the proportion of sodium in the diet. This blue one is the sodium is coming from bouillon cubes. Very popular in the poor groups and not so popular in the rich groups of the country. This line in the brown is a special meal that they call comida, is prepared food. This is the combination of rice, beans, and some meat. It's also it's a very important source of sodium. This green one coming down is the discretionary salt. It's the salt that we use in cooking or in the table. It is important in the poor groups, but it is not important in the rich groups. And we have this purple one here. is bread. If we are trying to have public health educational work in the Dominican Republic to reduce the sodium intake, it is going to be different if we are aiming to the rich groups or we are aiming to the poor. In the poor, we need to ask for the reduction of bouillon cubes, the prepared foods, and the discretionary salt. In the rich groups, it's part of the bouillon cubes, but more important, the reduction of bread intake and some type of the processed foods. This is the type of information that we can get from these surveys. And in this way, I have all the different nutrients, including cholesterol, including fatty acids, including all the things that we can have in a food composition table. But now, another question that in public health nutrition we are interested is which are the nutrients that are inadequate in the diet. For that, we have used food intake surveys. In this case, it's not a food intake. In this case, it's only the acquisition of foods. But then it occurred to us that we can do something with the data. We can estimate which is the amount of different nutrients in the diet of the household and divide that by the proportion of energy in the same composition of the diet of the households. And dividing that, we call that nutrient density per energy supply. In this case, I'm presenting only folate. We have all the nutrients, but I'm presenting only folate. The yellow one is the distributions of the density of folate in the very poor strata of the population. The poor, the median, the rich, and the richer. And that's an interesting data, and it only presents that the poor people is having a diet that is very poor in nutrients. They are really focusing in energy intake. And that is the reason they are coming down, that we can really analyze what are the conditions of the different nutrients in the different strata of the population, by socioeconomical group, by geographical group, by rural or urban, by the number of people in the family, by many other analyses. How to interpret this data? I presented here the estimate average requirement divided by the energy intake at the different age groups. And we can have this here. This is what happened if this diet is consumed by the small children in the amounts of energy that they need. They are not going to have folate inadequacy. The males, the same thing. They don't have folate inadequacy. But the females are going to have some folate inadequacy, especially the poorer people here, 40% of them, against 10-15 in the richer groups. And if we look, the elderly, they are going to be even more inadequate in the folate intake. Again, the poorest worse than the richer. But that will tell us which population or which member of the family could not receive sufficient of the nutrients based if they are eating the same type of diet. With that information, we prepare this summary here. These columns present to us which is the inadequate percent of the most vulnerable member of the family in the different socioeconomical groups in the Dominican Republic, from calcium to vitamin B6. The taller the column, that means the larger the proportion of the risk of inadequacy. Easily, we can see here that the problem is calcium, iron, and zinc. After that, we have vitamin A. And the following in line are folate, vitamin B12, and riboflavin. For the other micronutrients, there is not a problem. And the other interesting thing is that you can compare here by the different socioeconomical group. If the group is poorer, then the inadequacies are larger for vitamin C, vitamin A, folate, and others. How does it reflect with the conditions of nutrition conditions in the Dominican Republic? These are data for the demographic health surveys. Stunting in the country is 10% for the kids. It's something, but it's not as bad as in any other developing country. This is a country in transition. Underweight, they are not almost not underweight, and there is not wasting, which means this is a country that the supply of energy and protein is fine. There is some stunting, but it's not coming for lack of foods. It's coming from other reasons. But when we move to other indicators, like anemia, the kids, the children from 6 to 25 months of age, 28% are anemic. And from this anemia, one-third is only associated to iron. And the others probably is associated to the other nutrients. Women anemia is 34%, and iron deficiency anemia in women, 49%. The anemia due to iron in this case is 2/3. That means that this information here that are biomarkers are reflecting what we estimated making the analysis with the simple density of nutrients in the diet. In summary, what I'm trying to present today is showing the advantages that the household consumption expenditure service has for us working in the public health. These national surveys allow us to make a lot of inferences by geographic, economic, residence, and other type of strata. The data is accessible and without restrictions. All this work that I presented was done in 4 months of analysis. They save time and money because we don't need to do an intake survey. That is what we are making here as a secondary analysis of existing results. These surveys are repeated every 3 to 5 years, which allow us to do the work and the evolution during the time. It, as traditional in the past, we can identify the food vehicles that we can use as food fortification and improving the diet of the country. It's a practical and fast way to approximate the nutrient inadequacies based on the nutrient densities, as I showed. It's a screening tool for identifying communities and strata in that deserves a specific, more deep nutrient work. The important assumptions for this type of analysis is that we are assuming that the foods are consumed by the family members in direct proportion for the energy requirements. It's the same diet for everyone, and that's not true, but at least tell us what is happening in the household. We need to know the composition of the family, because with that we can estimate the adult male equivalent or the adult woman equivalent, depending on the equivalent energy intake that every member of the family requires. We need local measures to transform, like any survey, all the amounts of foods in the metrical system. It is not possible to, we need to have some way to estimate food equivalence, like if we wanted to look wheat flour, we need to know which is the proportion in each type of food. If we would like to make inferences about diet quality, we need very good food composition tables, and that's one limitation for many countries. And also we are assuming that the dietary recommended intakes are applicable even for all the populations in the world. And finally, the limitations. These studies are not food intakes surveys. Then the information is applicable to the household and not to the individual level. We can extrapolate, as I did, telling that the kids are not going to have folate deficiency and the elderly, yes, but probably this is not absolutely valid because the diet could change in the members of the family with the different age groups. This could be inaccuracy for food consumed outside the homes, and that is important in the urban populations. The calculations may not reflect the true intakes, but that will provide us with a very good feeling what is happening. All the surveys, as anyone based on interviews, the reliability depends in the memory and the veracity of the persons. And we don't know which is the bioavailability of minerals in the diet. And now we are making only some assumptions. That is all, and there is a reference here. You would like to learn a little more how to use these surveys, economical surveys applied to human health nutrition. Thank you.